This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News. You can go to newsroom.wgxc.org for more information on anything you hear here, including links to all the local publications, Twitter feeds, blogs, newspapers, magazines, and more at newsroom.wgxc.org. Gail Henson in the Register Star reports that acting State Supreme Court Judge Robert Chacon ruled Thursday, December 15th, that a ballot challenge by incumbent Town Justice Darcy Pape is valid and that challenger and former Justice Jack Nevers won the election by one vote. Pape, on the Democratic independence and conservative lines, led with 350 votes on election night to 348 for Republican Nevers. Counting absentee votes, Republican Board of Elections Commissioner Jason Netsky said on November 22nd, ruled in favor of the last ballot, giving Nevers a lead. Pape filed an order to show cause regarding why that disputed ballot should not be declared void. The judge credited the testimony, quote, the testimony of Commissioner Netsky. The testimony he provided was proof that the machine, the canvas, and the audit all counted the ballot from the election district 7046, and the respondent Nevers consistently had 348 machine votes, unquote. You can read that full story in the Register Star. The State Department of Public Service, charged with ensuring, quote, safe, secure, and reliable access to electric, gas, steam, telecommunications, and water services, unquote, for residences and businesses, approved the sale of two upstate nuclear plants to Exelon Corporation. Alexander Cockburn writes about close ties between President Obama and Exelon in the latest issue of Counterpunch. According to Cockburn, Exelon has been making generous provision to Obama's campaign chest ever since his days in the Illinois Senate. Exelon, a Chicago-based company, now acquires two units of the Nine Mile Point nuclear plant in Scriba, Osawaga County, and the slightly smaller Jenna nuclear plant in Ontario, Wayne County. You can read Alexander Cockburn's story in Counterpunch. Congressman Chris Gibson, who represents Green in Columbia and several surrounding counties, and U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who used to, are bragging about some local pork tucked into the National Defense Authorization Act. The bill, which just passed both chambers of Congress, includes over $50 million for nanotechnology research and a provision to increase focus on nanotechnology research by the Defense Department, including a study to determine the need for a center for nanotechnology. Where might that center be located? Quote, a new center would likely be located at the University at Albany's College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering, devoted to research and development of nanotechnology. Albany's Nano College is also well-placed to compete for the research funding. Now that the House and Senate have both approved the funding and legislation provision, the bill will be sent to the president for signature, unquote, according to Senator Gillibrand's press release. Senate Republicans are planning to bring their challenge of a 2010 law mandating state prisoners be counted at their last known address for purposes of legislative redistricting to the state's highest court. According to the Times Union's Capital Confidential, a group of plaintiffs led by Senator Betty Little, Republican from Queensbury, filed a pre-appeal statement Tuesday before the Court of Appeals. Albany County Supreme Court Justice Eugene Devon dismissed the suit December 1st. The Republicans are attempting to skip the appellate division and have their case heard by the Court of Appeals. You can read about the appeal in the Times Union's Capital Confidential. NYPIRG, the New York Public Interest Research Group, released its list of the top 100 lobbyists in Albany for the first 10 months of 2011. Topping the list is a group called, quote, the Committee to Save New York Incorporated, which spent nearly $10 million. The Save New York group, which includes several top Cuomo contributors, ran ads in January supporting Cuomo's plans to cut the state budget, cap the growth of property taxes, and other measures. All told, $187.5 million has been spent lobbying Albany this year. Walmart, which spent $2.6 million, is fourth on the list of big spenders. The chain hopes to gain approval to build an outlet in New York City. A number of interest groups on both sides of gay marriage amendment spent money, and five of those groups cracked the top 100. Chesapeake Appalachia, the top industry supporter of hydrofracking, spent a measly $189,000 this year. That's a far cry from the $1.1 million they spent over the same period last year when they ranked 18th on the top 100 lobbyist list. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to adopt the 2012 budget of $145.1 million. Jeff Alexander in the Register Star reports the county was able to adopt the budget and maintain the tax levy despite a decrease in state aid and unfunded mandates that are straining county budgets statewide. Board of Supervisors Chairman Roy Brown told the paper there were no anticipated layoffs, but there is a hiring, quote, chill, unquote, at the county level. Read the full story in the Register Star. W.T. Eckert in the Daily Mail reports that cell phone service might soon improve in some far corners of Greene County if a proposal to fix problems with emergency communications goes through the Greene County Legislature. A study for the legislature recently determined that to improve service, towers should be built in Halcott Center, Westkill, Ashland, West Settlement, Star Rock, Durham, Maplecrest, Windham, Hamburg, and Kiskatom. Kira legislator William Lawrence told the reporter that, quote, like Kevin Lewis, Republican from Greenville, said, we can rent those towers out, other cellular companies who need them, because the coverage there is so bad, unquote. So you can read the full story in the Daily Mail. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2011, and the National Weather Service prediction for the town of Freehold in Greene County is that there may be rain and snow showers before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 42, breezy with a west wind between 14 and 22 miles per hour with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour on Friday. Friday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 25. The forecast for the weekend, Saturday mostly cloudy with a high near 34. Sunday partly sunny with a high near 35. And Monday partly sunny with a high near 42. Sun rises at 7:13 a.m. on Friday and sets at 4:29. The moon rises at 11:03 at night and sets 10:57 a.m. And tune in to WGXC special programming today, Occupied Radio at 9:30 a.m. WGXC programmer Mark Reed's new National Pacifica radio show called Occupied Radio debuts with an episode called Movement or Moment. At 10 a.m., in print, host Terry Doyle runs down Hudson Valley musical events and interviews Spuyten Duyvil, a Hudson Valley band. And at 3 p.m., the Living Poet Show host Rebecca Wolf will be live in WGXC Hudson studio on WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.